Turn to the book of Exodus chapter 3. The book of Exodus chapter 3. We began a message this morning on Mount Horeb. We've come back to our topical series on the mountains of the Bible. We've come to our second mountain tonight, and that is Mount Horeb. What a great mountain it is. If you remember from this morning, Mount Horeb is the same as Mount Sinai. So there's several things that happened on this mountain. But we've just come to the first part of this. And this is Mount Horeb here, and we've looked at the first two major points of this message, and God willing, we'll get through the third major point tonight. Let's pray together, and we'll pick up our reading in verse number 1. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, there truly is something about your precious name. You've been good to us, and Lord, as a matter of fact, you've been perfect to us, and we give you the glory tonight. Thank you for giving us the exalted privilege to gather around your word and hear your word preached. Praise your name for your word tonight. Thank you for revealing it, for inspiring it, for preserving it down through the centuries, so that now we have a copy of the precious, preserved, inspired, inerrant, infallible word. We give you the glory for that. Help us to be faithful here to preach it faithfully, not giving man's ideas, but your word. May your will be done this evening, please, in Jesus' name, amen. A good while ago, the Lord gave me a thought about doing a sermon series on the mountains of the Bible. The first mountain, if you remember, we considered was Mount Moriah, in which Abraham was tested with his son Isaac. Now, this morning, we began another message on another mountain, the mountain called Horeb. This is the mountain where the scene of the burning bush takes place. Now, we didn't get to the burning bush this morning. We're going to get to it tonight. First of all, we noticed this morning the condition of Israel and these several words that came to our attention, the words of bondage, groaning, affliction, sorrow, crying, and oppression. Secondly, we noticed the care of God and that he proved his care for these people in that he heard them, he saw them, he respected them, he knew their sorrows, and he came to them. So we've noticed the condition of the Israelites and the care of God. Now tonight we come to the third major point, which is the call of Moses. Now look at chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called, there it is, the call of Moses. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto a good land and a large. Skip down to verse number 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. We're considering tonight under the title Mount Horeb, point number 3, our message tonight, the call of Moses. Now, as we keep in mind the setting of this story, what I mean is what we preached on this morning, the awful condition of the Israelites and how God truly did care about them and had compassion for them, we've come to a point that is sobering, and it is challenging for each one of us who are a child of God. It involves the call of Moses from the burning bush. Now, as we consider this section tonight, let us see ourselves in the place of Moses. Now, here the Lord has come down due to his love and care for his people in bondage in Egypt. And he begins to speak to Moses and calls him and commissions him to go, get it, as his representative in Egypt to deliver them out of that cruel bondage. Now, before we get to the basic thoughts under this point, let me say that this call came in an unlikely place with unlikely procedures to an unlikely person. Let me show you what I mean. It came on the backside of the desert. It came through the midst of a burning bush that was not burnt up. And it came to a man who is 80 years old, who is a fugitive wanted for murder in Egypt. Now, when you think about all of this, this is a sobering thought, because God knows what he's doing. And what I want to show you here is that when Moses drew near the bush, now let's go back in our mind's eye. I'm trying to paint a picture. Moses is keeping the flock, and he looks over. He's on Mount Horeb. He looks over, and he sees a bush burning, but it's not consumed. It's not burning down. So he gets curious. And he walks over to it, and as he walks over to it, God speaks. Boy, I'd love to have been there, wouldn't you? Now, I want to draw our attention and our mind's eye to Moses standing there before the burning bush. Do you see it? I want you to see it now. Get it in your mind. And God begins to speak to him. Now, this is the scene I want us all to see. Now, this call of Moses to go and be God's representative in Egypt in order to deliver the Israelites involves several things that we can learn from. Now, I'm going to look at this call with you tonight and bring out what it involved. And let me tell you this, what it involved then, it involves the same today. For instance, there are people still in Egypt tonight. I'm not talking about the literal place. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. They're lost and undone and need Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that God loves them. He wants to save them. And when he came down, he did not come to them first. He went to Moses. He went to one of his children. And he says, I want you to go for me. Now, what's that a picture of? What do you think? It's a picture of his call to win people to Christ. Now, what was involved in all of this? We're going to look at this tonight. This is a Bible study. I want to be a Bible preacher. This is a Bible study. What was involved in the call of Moses? Number one, it involved response. Look at verse number 4 of chapter 3. It says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. By the way, if you're a preacher, here's another thought for you that could be a series in itself. Do a Bible study on every time God calls somebody's name twice. This is one of them. And for some reason, he didn't call his name once. He called his name twice. I want to show you what Moses did. Did Moses run from this call? Let me ask you a question. Let's say that this is the bush right here. This right here. It's bright. Let's say that this is the bush right here. It's on fire. It's not consumed. It's grabbed your attention. You come because what is that? And all of a sudden, God begins to speak to you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're probably going to get out of town. You understand what I'm saying? But not Moses. You know what Moses said? He said, here I am. Here am I. You know what that tells me? He responded to God's call on his life. You know what that tells me, folks? You know what the word, here am I, you know what those words carry the idea? Here it is, folks. Here God is speaking to him from the burning bush. He didn't run away. When the Lord called his name, he simply said, here am I. This is a common expression used back in this day. Here am I, here am I, here am I. This was a common expression used back in this day that was used to show that he was there to hear and he was there to hearken to whatever was being told to him. The point I'm trying to make is Moses didn't run away from this call. He heard it and he was willing to listen to it. You know, in the same way, all of God's children have been called by God to be his representative to help get others out of spiritual bondage. Every one of God's children, God has given them a burning bush experience and he's called them to go into Egypt and to help get people out. And what we need first of all is we need Christians who will say, Lord, here am I. It involved response from Moses. 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." God has called his children just like he called Moses. He's saying, Jody, and all he wants to hear from me is, "Lord, here am I. I'm ready to hear and I'm ready to obey." It involved response. Secondly, it involved recognition. Let me show you what I mean. In these verses, we see Moses recognizing some things. When God is speaking to him from that bush, it not only involved his response, "Here am I, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, here am I." It involved response. But secondly, it involved recognition. Moses recognized some things. He recognized two things. Number one, under this, he recognized God. We see this in verse 5 and 6. Look at it. "And he said," God said to Moses, "draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He recognized God. In verse number 5, the Lord tells Moses to take his shoes off, for he was standing on holy ground. You know what the removal of shoes was a sign of? It was a sign of respect. It was given to show that one was in the presence of somebody greater. That's what it was. Then the Lord identifies himself in verse 7 saying, "I'll tell you who I am speaking to you." He says, "I'm the God of thy father. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. And I'm the God of Jacob." What he's saying here, the Lord wanted Moses to recognize who it was calling him. He's saying, "Moses, do you recognize me? Do you know me? Do you understand that this is not some figment of your imagination? This is God speaking to you." Just a side note, it's interesting how God identified himself in verse 7. He said, "I'm the God of Abraham, who was dead. I'm the God of Isaac, who was dead. I'm the God of Jacob, who was dead." You know what God's saying? He's telling you there's life after death right there, folks. Think about it. He's saying, "I'll tell you whose God I am. I'm the God of Abraham. He's still alive, Moses. I'm the God of Isaac. He's still alive, Moses. I'm the God of Jacob. He's still alive, Moses. I am the God of the living." And he says, take your shoes off your feet. Can you not imagine Moses going and he hears this voice speak to him and he says, "Here am I. I don't understand maybe who this is yet, but I know something great happening to me. And whoever this is, he deserves my respect. And I will respond, here am I. He knows my name. Wait a minute, he called me by name. Here am I, God. I'm here, I'm responding to you." And he says, "Take your shoes off your feet. Do you recognize who I am, Moses? Do you understand I'm greater than you? Do you understand I am God, and I am God of the living? I am the God of eternity." And can't you just see Moses taking his shoes off? I'm going to preach the rest of this service without my shoes on. I'm telling you, Moses is identifying with God right here. And he's saying, "I understand something. I recognize this is God speaking to me, and I will submit to him." He recognized God. By the way, if you start smelling something, it's not me, it's your neighbor. Secondly, he not only recognized God, he recognized himself. He recognized himself. Look at verse number 5 and then verse 11. And it says, and he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." God is saying, "Do you recognize me, Moses?" But on the flip side of that, he's asking and he's saying, "Do you recognize yourself? Do you recognize that you are below me? Do you recognize that you are helpless before me? Do you recognize that you can't do this?" Look at verse number 11. "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? By the way, we jump on Moses, and this is an excuse, but we jump on him all the time, but we're guilty of the same thing. The fact of the matter is, I get encouraged when I hear Moses ask this question. You know why I get encouraged? Because he's telling God, I can't do this, God. That's what he's saying. He's saying, who am I? Who am I to take care of something like this? And I'm telling you, in this I see that it involved recognition. He's recognizing God. He's recognizing himself. He recognized that God is who he says he is, and he recognized himself in the right way. In the removal of his shoes, he was showing submission unto his God. He was showing submission to somebody that he recognized as being higher than he is. And he was showing his humility before the Lord. You know, 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And then his question in verse number 11, he was showing that he recognized his own inadequacy to do this job for the Lord. This goes to show that he understood that if this work was going to be done, it would not be done by his own strength. And it would not be done by his own know-how. You know, in the same way tonight, folks, we must understand that the work the Lord calls us to do, I'm talking about winning people to Christ, going down into Egypt, going down in the world, you understand, and trying to get them out of bondage, that work cannot be done in the energy of the flesh. We are not sufficient in ourselves. God help us if we ever put our faith in our know-how. God help us if we ever put our faith in, well, I've been trained in soul winning. I know what I'm doing now. Now I can go. Wait a minute. I'm for training just as much as anybody else. I'm trying to train this church as well. You need to be trained in soul winning. But folks, if you're saved tonight, you have everything you need already. It's called the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. And I'm telling you, may God help us never to think that we're sufficient in ourselves and think too highly of ourselves. Let us recognize our inadequacy and submit to our Lord and His will for our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Number one, it involved response. He said, here am I. He's saying, God, I am here. I am ready to hear you. I am ready to hearken to you. And I'm telling you something. I'll do anything you want me to do. God speaks to him and says, put your shoes off your feet. Recognize whose presence you're in. Recognize who you are, Moses. You are not me. I am not you. I am the great one. Will you submit to me? Then he begins to commission him. And Moses responds with, God, who am I? You know, that's the right question to ask. That's the right question to ask. I'm glad when Moses went to the presence of God and he said, I want you to go to Egypt. He didn't do this. Oh, I'm a big shot now, aren't I? God's told me to do it. Wait a minute. Moses understood something. He recognized something. He recognized his own inadequacy. Number three, it involved reverence. We see this in verse 6. In verse number 6, look at it. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Now notice this, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You know what that word afraid there means? It carries the idea of showing reverence for one. It carries the idea of showing respect. You know what this tells me? This tells me that Moses was standing in the fear of God. He knew the Lord was speaking to him. He knew that that was not a man. He knew it was God. And when he recognized God, and he understood this is God speaking to me, he was fearful. That's been lost in America. That's been lost in churches. That's been lost in individual lives. You know, the fear of God has been lost in the world today. Why is it that so many Christians know what God wants them to do and they don't do it? Why is it that the world is in turmoil today? Why is it that Christians seemingly are complacent today? This can all be tied to the fact that the fear of God is missing in our society. You know, when a person truly sees the Lord like Moses did, he or she will fear the Lord and be ready to do anything he says. There's no doubt about it. So if you're here tonight and there's something God's told you to do and you're not doing it, your problem is you don't fear God. Now, I know that's a little uncomfortable to hear somebody say that. But I heard this, I believe it was last week. You throw a rock into a pack of dogs, and the one who comes out yelling and yelping is the one who got hit. So if you go home and complain, he tell me I'm not right with God. It hits you, didn't it? By the way, can I say this to you? Before I ever step foot behind this pulpit, God has hit me between the eyes. And understand that when I preach to you, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching to us. There's a big difference. If I don't do what God wants me to do, my problem is I haven't seen him like I need to see him. Amen. That applies to all of us. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Revelation 14:7, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. Do you fear God? Before you say yes, how are you living your life? Are you telling people about Christ? Well, no, then you don't fear God. Because that's something he told you to do. When you fear God, you will answer the call. Somebody say, help me out a little bit tonight, folks. You agree with that, don't you? That's the truth, whether you agree with it or not. Moses was having a confrontation. Not a confrontation. He was having a meeting with God. God is showing him who he is. He's getting Moses' attention. And when Moses finally understood, wait a minute, this is God speaking to me. He hid his face. He was in fear. He was afraid of God. We need a steady dose of that in our lives. Then number four, there's a fourth thing that the call of Moses involved. Oh, it involved response. It involved recognition. It involved reverence. Number four, boy, I like this. It involved receiving. Receiving. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 7 and following. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large. Verse number 9, now therefore behold the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Beautiful here, beautiful, beautiful. And what I mean by that is this. It's interesting that God does not speak to him about these things first. God wanted Moses to recognize him first. God wanted Moses to recognize himself first. And once God saw that Moses is recognizing him, he's recognizing himself and he's standing in fear of him, then he begins to talk to him about what's on his heart and what's on his mind. This is a beautiful point. I'm praying that the Lord help me get this across. It's interesting that when Moses took his shoes off and God began to speak to him, that he began to speak to him about who he was, what was going on, and what he was going to do about it. In other words, when Moses spent time with the Lord, he heard the heartbeat of God. He was given insight into what was on the heart and mind of the Lord. And he soon realized the Lord had come down to deliver his people from bondage. And when Moses spent this time with the Lord, he was receiving from his God. In turn, Moses' life became obsessed with what the Lord wanted. Do you see that? When he spent the time with God, and God saw him remove his shoes and recognize him, and he's standing in fear of him, then God began to speak to him and say, Moses, let me tell you what's on my mind. Let me tell you what's on my heart.
Let me share with you my burden today. I've come down and I want to set them free. And then from there on out, you know the story. Moses gets set on fire for God. He's no longer living for sheep. He's living for the Savior. And he is completely consumed with what God wanted. And I'm telling you that when you have a burning bush experience, I'm talking about spending time with your Lord, communing with him in his holy word, coming into his holy presence, maybe even with your shoes off your feet. And I'm telling you, as he sees you, respect him and stand in reverence to him and recognize him, the blessed Holy Spirit will take the pages of God's word and he will penetrate your heart and he'll penetrate your mind and he'll say, let me just share with you, dear son. Let me share with you, dear daughter, the one who does take time to respond to me, the one who does take time to recognize me, the one who does take time to reference me. Let me share with you what's on my heart, and God will put on your heart what's on his heart, and before you know it, it's consuming you. It is burning you like a fire, and you can't help but give the gospel out. You can't help but give gospel tracts out. You can't help but invite people to church. Why? Because that's the heartbeat of God. And I'm telling you tonight, we need to spend more time at the feet of Jesus Christ, coming into the burning bush experience and receiving his word. Let him fill us up. Let him share his burden with us. And then allow him to take our bodies and fulfill his desire through us. Isn't that something? Honestly, it involved receiving. Then number five. It involved reliance. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 12 and verse number 14. And he said, now notice, let's get back to verse number 11. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go up unto Pharaoh, and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Look at verse number 14. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. He's saying, Moses, I want you to understand something. I know I'm telling you to go down there, but I want you to know something. I'm going with you. Amen. And he said, I want to tell you something, son. You may be asking what my name is. Let me just put a blank check out there for you, son. One of my names is I am. In other words, what do you need? That's what I am. What is it that you don't have? That's what I am. And you tell my people down in Egypt that I am has sent you to them. You know what God is doing here, folks? He's trying to get Moses to see something. He's trying to get him again to see that he's not capable of doing this work. But he's trying to get him to see that he did not make this call based on Moses' adequacy. He based this call based on his own sufficiency. All he wanted was a willing vessel to flow through. And I'm telling you tonight, in other words, the Lord wanted Moses to know that he was telling him that what he was telling him to do, he knew he could not do it. Notice his response in verse 11 when Moses said, who am I? God didn't say, you're Moses. He didn't say, why, you're Moses. You're 80 years old. You've had a lot of experience. No, he simply said this. I'm going with you. That's enough right there, folks. You know, honestly. Now, Moses was not to depend upon his own ability, but he was to rely, there it is, on the presence, the power, and the promises of God. This is also seen in his name, and I am. You know, in the same way, the Christian life is completely a life of dependence. It really is. It's completely a life of reliance upon our God. We are not capable. Now listen to me, folks.
The humanistic philosophy and ideology and all these kind of things is this. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. You just think you can, think you can, think you can, and you eventually will. That is so anti-scriptural, it's ridiculous. God never said, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. That's what he said. And I'm telling you that we're not capable of doing what the Lord wants us to do. We're not. But he is with us. And he wants us simply to lean on him, rely on him. God, I can't do this. Let me just hop up in your big lap, and why don't you hold my hand through the whole thing? You know what he says? Be happy to do it. Be happy to do it. You heard the story one time. I'm going by memory here, so some of this may not be exactly the way the story was, but anyway, you'll get the basic gist of it. About this little child who, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll use my own child, Jalen. Judson's a little bit bigger now, so he doesn't have to hold Daddy's hand to walk downstairs, right, son? Sure. You used to, but not anymore. Jalen, it's interesting. She'll come to a set of stairs, and I'll be there with her, and she'll just stand there, just looking down. All of a sudden, I'll hold my hand out, and she reaches up and grabs my hand. As soon as she grabs my hand, she starts flying down those steps. Flying. I mean, I have to keep up with her. You know what makes a difference with her? She's relying on somebody bigger than her now. Her hand's in her daddy's hand. And she trusts her daddy that her daddy will not let her fall. But her daddy will help her get to where she's going. Are you listening to me? There have been times she has slipped, but I didn't let her fall. I was holding her in midair. Can you see it? Do you see it? I'm not going to let my girl get hurt. Are you listening to me? God has made the Christian life. We know that we who are saved are already in his big hand, right? We're already there. Salvation, that never changes. That never changes. So don't think that I'm trying to take you out of his hand here with this next statement, because you're there, you're safe, you're secure. You're going to make it to heaven whether you realize it or not. But you know the Christian life is God doing this. And how many times do we say, let me see if I can do this with myself? Now don't you tell me that you've not made that mistake. We've all made that mistake. And what Moses is saying, he's saying, God, who am I? Who am I? God says, son, I'm going with you. Let that sink in just a minute. He's saying, I'm going to be right there with you, boy. Will you rely on me? This is practical stuff. You know, I mean, this is practical stuff, folks. It really is. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even in the end of the world. Amen. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. John 15:4-5, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. The Christian life is a life of reliance, a life of dependence. The call of Moses involved response. He did not run. He said, here am I. I'm here. I'm ready to hear it. I'm ready to hearken to it. It involved recognition. He said, put off your shoes. Do you recognize who I am? I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He takes his shoes off. He recognizes God. At the same time, he recognizes himself by saying, I'm submitting to somebody higher than me here. And at the same time, he asks the question, who am I? He realizes he cannot do this on his own. Thirdly, it involved reverence. When he understood it was the voice of God, he shuddered in fear. He hid his face. He was standing in respect and reverence for God. It involved receiving. When God has his attention, God begins to pour his heart out and say, this is what's on my heart. This is what I'm here to do. This is what I want to get done. This is my will. Just like we need to receive. It involved reliance. Moses said, who am I? God says, I'm going with you. He says, they're going to ask me what your name is. What's your name? He says, just tell them I am, I sent you. Just tell them whatever they need, that's what I am. And by the way, Moses, whatever you need, that's what I am too. Then there's a sixth and final thing here. And that is, this call involved relaying. Relaying. In verses 13 to 17, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me, saying, What's his name? What shall I say? And God said, Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial in all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." You say, what's it mean to relay? Relaying. What are you talking about? It's interesting in these verses that the Lord did not send Moses into Egypt with his own message. He sent Moses into Egypt with his message. In other words, he told Moses what to tell the Israelites. You know, in the same way, the Lord has already given us the message. He's already given it to us. To take to the lost and dying world. This lost and dying world does not need to hear our philosophy. This lost and dying world does not need to hear our ideas. They need to hear the Word of God. That's what they need. The nature of an ambassador, which is what God is doing with Moses, he is making him his ambassador, his representative. The nature of an ambassador, which is what we are in the book of 2 Corinthians, the nature of an ambassador is to simply relay the message of his sovereign. He's not there to say, let me tell you what I think about this situation. No, he's there to say, I have come from the Great One. And here's what he says. And folks, that is soul winning. That's soul winning. It is not you trying to win them with your conversation. It's not you trying to woo them with your philosophy. It's you taking the Word of God that God has already given and saying, I love them. Here's the message. Tell them this. And when you tell them that, God works, and many of them trust Him as their Savior. Mark 16, 15, He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. 1 Corinthians 1:17, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. 2 Timothy 4:2, Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know where churches get in trouble? You know where preachers get in trouble? Is when they leave the message and they try to start doctoring things up to get people in. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with trying to get people in here. We're trying to do that with soldiers, trying to do with teams and coaches. But the reason we're getting them in here is not to have a rock and roll concert, bless your heart. The reason we're getting them in here is to preach the gospel to them, give them the Word of God, so many of them can trust Christ as their Savior. This call involved relaying. It involved relaying the message of God. And let this sink in, that here is God who loves these people, cares for these people, and wants to set them free. Here's these people in bondage, cruel bondage, being broken apart, torn apart, taskmasters harassing them. God has come down. That was this morning. God has come down to deliver them. But it's interesting, this is where you and I come into play if we're saved. God appeared to one of his children in the midst of a burning bush, simply wanting him to recognize who he was. Simply wanting to recognize who himself was. Simply wanting him to say, here am I. Wanting him to take his shoes off of his feet. Wanting him to understand that he's not worthy, but he is the one who was calling him. Wanting him to understand that he wasn't sending him blindly down into Egypt. He gave him the words to use when he got there. Do you see this? Can I end this message by saying this?
What a privilege for Moses. What a privilege.
Yes.
And do you realize when God saved you, He's made the same call to you? Will you respond?
May the Lord add His blessing. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Help us to understand the importance of this message. Here we have, we've come to Mount Horeb, Lord. What a wonderful mountain. You have called out. You have come down. You have cared for these people. You came to one of Your children because You wanted to privilege him to be the one to go into Egypt, to allow You to use him to bring the Egyptians out of bondage. Help us to see our part. Help us all to respond. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Are you a born-again child of God? Are you truly saved? If you're not tonight, why don't you let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord? Please don't be somebody who leaves not knowing for sure that heaven is their home. God, help you. Maybe tonight you're a child of God. And you say, Jody, I believe what I need to do is I need to get to the burning bush. And I believe what I need to do is spend time there with the Lord and allow Him to share His burden with me. Allow Him to share what's on His heart with me. Maybe God is speaking to you and that He's challenging you right now. Maybe you, can you hear Him calling your name twice? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear Him calling your name? Jody. Jody. Oh, it's a privilege when He knows your name, isn't it? Amen. He calls Moses' name. Thank the Lord, Moses responded right. Maybe God is dealing with you. Maybe you need to come and say, God, take me to the bush. Take me to the bush. And help me to recognize You, recognize myself. Give me the fear of God in my life. Help me to respond right. Help me to receive from You and take time to receive Your word. And help me to rely on You and simply take Your message to the people in Egypt. Help me to relay what You've given me to relay. May God help you to respond. Let's all stand together, please, shall we? Our Father, we love You today. Help us, I beg of You, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God is speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings, would you leave your place now and come? As he sings, come on now. Here we go. Come on now.
I surrender to Him I freely give. I will
come on, there's time for you. You come on.
Standing, you can look this way. Folks are still praying. We're dealing with the family here.
Mount Horeb, all these mountains are great mountains. If I could leave you with a thought, it would be found at the bush. Do you understand what I mean by that? When Moses went to the bush, God began to speak to him. And Moses felt the heart of God. He saw God's care and God's compassion and God's love. Moses couldn't help but go. All of us need to understand that without this same God, we would still be in Egyptian bondage. Every one of us. Do you understand that, don't you? And what he did for them, he also did for you. And by the way, there was a Moses in your life somewhere. Amen. It could have been a preacher who preached a message. Could be somebody knocked on your door. Could be somebody laid a track out somewhere and you just picked it up. But there was a Moses somewhere in your life that God used to bring his love to you. Somebody heard that call in your life. May God help us to be a child of God who remembers where we were and understands that God wants everybody out of Egypt. And the way he gets them out is his little Moses keeps going to the bush. And he keeps calling and keeps commanding and keeps commissioning. And we get his heartbeat and we go and take it to a lost and dying world, and people begin to come out of bondage. That's a privilege. Amen. That's a privilege. May the Lord help us with this. This is the Pendleton family. If you folks wouldn't mind to stand there, please. This is a fine family. Most of them. I'm just kidding. They are coming and they want to join our church by memory. This is the third young family today who's joined our church. Isn't that a blessing? We're thrilled to have you. No doubt about it. God bless you. Jump in here and help us now. You've already talked to me about that. It's a blessing. I think we can use them around here. What do you think? Amen. Can I get a motion that we receive them on their letter? Get a motion, Brother Cash, Brother Leroy, second. All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed? Same sign. So carry. There it is. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. I want you to stay right here. Let our folks come by. Come by and shake your hands. I'm honored to be your pastor. I want you to know that. God bless you. Preacher, what I'm going to do, if you don't mind, even if you do, I'm still going to do it, okay? I'm going to have you come up here. I want our deacons, if you wouldn't mind, and our staff, our male staff, and our deacons. Preacher, if you wouldn't mind, just to come and have a seat right here. Just right here beside the Pendletons. Brother Pendleton, you folks can just stay right there. You have a seat right here. We're going to have our deacons and our pastoral staff to come. We're going to pray for you. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray for his surgery tomorrow that everything will go well. Tomorrow will be with the doctors. Please remember the funeral arrangements tomorrow for Mrs. Stover, Mrs. Sluss's mother. Please remember that. That'll be a good thing. All right? Very, very good. I'm going to ask Brother Gary, sir, if you wouldn't mind to take this microphone here. Brother Gary's going to pray. Men, if you can kneel, I want you to do that. You don't have to, but if you can, I want you to do that. And I want you all to pray with us now. This is our closing prayer. And if you're a first-time guest, I remind you to take that card out in the back. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. I love you. Appreciate you. We're here for you. Brother Gary's going to pray. I want you to pray there too.
Lord, we love our preacher. And God, he has prayed for us throughout the years many, many times. We've gone through trials. And now, Lord, we bring him to you. And he has served you faithfully. He's loved you. He's feared you. He's done what Pastor talked about tonight. And now as he goes through this surgery tomorrow, we ask you, Lord, just to have your hand upon him. God, may you guide the surgeons. May things go smoothly, protect him from infection. And Lord, may he be healed up quickly and be back with us. And Lord, just touch him. Help him even as he goes and has surgery, be a testimony to the doctors, the nurses, to all that come and see him. May he glorify you. May he point people to you even during this time. God, touch him and use him, Lord. Thank you for how you've used him all these years in my life, in my family's life, in this church. And God, just do a mighty work through him and touch him and bring him back to us quickly, we pray, and speed his recovery in Jesus' name.
Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He's